Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and as you can tell, I'm back in the SCU studios after a couple of days out at Pittsburgh Steelers training camp in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, the nice humble confines of St. Vincent's College. Of course, yesterday it poured down rain, so maybe a quick hitter today. I'm going to see how this goes about because this time around, I've got even more hand-scribbled notes, and man, let me tell you, even just going through this is quite the chore. I'll tell you a little about the process, and no, my notepad did not get soaked, didn't get wet, because I'm a dork and I know how to protect my stuff, so, but anyways, yeah, Flash is going to be out there at camp, and I'll be back out at camp, and we're going to have a few more of these kind of in-the-week shows like we just did. Thank you to everyone who supports Steel City Underground, of course. And if you haven't already, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. About the notes, man, I scribble some things down. Sometimes I got to scribble down numbers. There's still a few players that haven't quite stuck into my brain, into my memory when I go up and down the Pittsburgh Steelers roster. And I got to look and I got to see, oh, who is that now? Who's wearing that number? Of course, number 19, as we all know already, Kelvin Austin wearing the old Juju Smith-Schuster number, and kind of, if you've already seen him, kind of making it an afterthought, as sad as that is to kind of say in certain ways, because I loved Juju, a former guest on the show, very, very gracious to have had him back then as well. But sometimes you got to write down just chicken scratch and get as best as you can, and then kind of go back a little on memory with some of it. You're not sitting there recording. You're not really permitted, if you're in the media circles, to be recording some of this stuff as well. So some of the things that come out or that leak, sometimes I get surprised, and sometimes I get surprised too, because you'll have like one of the beat reporters that are sitting there, and they're going to say something, and everybody else is going to take that and magnify it and make it much bigger. And then there's always a chance that my head's buried in the pad, and I really try not to. I try to write these down real super quick and then make sure I'm on to the next play and try not to miss anything. So you're always going to have that, aside from the fact that everybody has their own opinions. And I think it's been, I've been listening to a lot of SNR, Steelers Nation Radio, and the various guests that have been on, Dale Lawley, of course, Arthur Motes with Wesley Euler, and a few of the others, Matt Williamson, I should throw his name out there too. Great, great, great stuff. You could get it right on the Steelers website, right off of the app. I highly recommend it. I do believe they archive those as much like a podcast format too. And it's just great to hear some of the comments or some of the tweets that come around with everyone that's asking questions, particularly the quarterback battle. I had an image kind of queued up here just to give you an idea of what practice started like yesterday. Just torrential downpour for a good 5-10 minutes. I feel bad for the fans who weren't prepared. The Steelers had already started to migrate over. They usually use two primary grass fields, large fields. They're side by side and then tucked over in the corner of St. Vincent's College there in this same kind of area is a turf field. So everybody goes over to the turf field, and it's got a huge crown off the side of it. And it's just, it could be miserable for folks. And of course you could stand up on top of the hill or by the trees or whatever else, but they got, it was interesting to hear Mike Tomlin post practice yesterday. Someone had asked him, did you get all of the snaps you had planned in? And he said, yes. So that was always, that's good to find out. And it's good to hear, because a few of the things I'm going to bring up, I'm probably going to get flamed for them. And I got to always remind people that my opinion is different from some others, but also, you know, it is what I see and it is my opinion. And then at the same time, I think there's some already preconceived notions as to kind of like the quarterback battle. How's this going to play out? I had queued up this photo. This was Chris Oladokun, and he participates in, like, you know, the pre-stretch warmups. If you're not familiar with any type of modern sports science, I know there's some folks out there that still, they'll have you touch your toes for like count to 10 and stuff like that before you even get a light jog or get the heart rate going. And this is about the most that Oladokun has been involved in so far. It looked like it was going to be maybe a three quarterback battle. And I have to preface starting off the show again, I don't have anything against any of these three quarterbacks. I know a lot of people think I'm a Mason Rudolph homer. To a certain degree, I want to see him succeed, but I don't want to see the other guys necessarily fail. I am not going to find any pleasure in seeing Mitch Trubisky or the first round draft pick Kenny Pickett fail. But you got to acknowledge where they have differences, where they have deficiencies, and they all do. And they're all coming in to fill big shoes for Big Ben Roethlisberger, who of course, made some noise just yesterday too. Had to come back on some of his words. Of course, the media takes it and twists it out of proportion. The same thing going on with Deontay Johnson, who, yeah, his sit in. He's getting the work done. He was there an hour later. I was scooting out, but I saw him starting to get already start to do some of the work. I don't have to watch a guy do the judge drills and stuff like that. But it was interesting to see that both cases, day one and day two, that he's been out there putting in extra work. And a lot of players do. It's not just to single him out, but a lot of people are singling him out based on, I don't know if it's like a contract demand or anything like this, but it's not the same situation as like Mike Wallace, who didn't show up whatsoever, or Lev Bell, who didn't show up whatsoever. He's there and he's working out alongside these guys. And as fate would have it, Arthur Motes was telling a story, and I've mentioned this many a times, where not necessarily his story, but where it ended up only being himself and TJ Watt taking all of these reps in training camp for almost 2 weeks due to various injuries and stuff. And they didn't want to move or shift any players on or off the roster, have to cut somebody to just bring someone in. So they're doing all the heavy lifting. And James Harrison is the third guy. And he's the third guy. He's the only other guy that's healthy from the edge rushing, the outside linebacker group. James Harrison is not like doing the same type of drill. He's doing a Deontay Johnson type thing. He's out on his own, but there's no contract holdup or anything like that. So sometimes, just with the veteran players or where your certain status is, I like Deontay Johnson. I think he's another player like Devin Bush, like Mason Rudolph, and a few others, Terrell Edmonds, that get this stigma from fans and clickbait media and stuff like that, that people that just have to have their hotshot opinion to draw attention to themselves. And lo and behold, what ends up happening is that this manifests it into being like the truth, like the gospel about some of these players. And it's not. In a lot of cases, it's not. If you could watch with your own eyes, we saw what we saw with Edmonds. And in this case, Deontay Johnson, it's the drops. And I don't know. Deontay Johnson is a player that creates yards after the catch. He's one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL at doing it. He's still fast. He's still probably the best route runner on the team. He can break tackles. He's kind of a do-it-all, and he's definitely an asset. Even Big Ben had said this in his radio interview yesterday. I keep getting my days all confused. They started this stuff on Wednesday, you know what I mean? So anyways, he said that, you know, Deontay Johnson would be very valuable to this team. Now, I would like, as a lot of the opinions are right now, Deontay to be out there and working with these new quarterbacks, because you got to build some rapport with them. Then he's going to have some with Mason Rudolph. He played a ton with him in his own rookie season when Mason was playing a lot back in 2019. But yeah, I'd like to see Deontay out there. We'll see if there's any contract resolutions, any promises. My gut feeling is like, obviously it's not TJ Watt. A lot of people don't realize Minka Fitzpatrick was doing a little bit of a hold-in type thing with the offseason workouts already too. And I got to mention Minka just right off the top of the program, not to pick away from Deontay Johnson, but Minka's out there, non-football injury, injured his wrist, right? But he's out like about 20 yards behind everybody in the defensive backfield, and he's still communicating. He's barking instructions just like he would if he had a helmet on. So he's putting in some work, even though he's technically not cleared to practice just yet or practicing just yet. So with Deontay, yeah, I want to see him out there, but I don't know that he's going to get the bag that Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill and AJ Brown and, of course, Christian Kirk set this off. This wide receiver market's off the charts. And Omar Khan, now the new GM, is probably looking at it, and he is very much the bean picker. He's counting everything, right? He's the accounting guy. And I look at some of the other wide receivers that are on the roster, too, that could make Deontay expendable. But I'm not saying that they shouldn't pay Deontay, because they don't have a whole lot of big contracts that are tied up on the offensive side of the ball. And this is something where I believe that he's a difference maker. He's a player. It's not always easy to just replace a player with another player and say that they'll be up to that same level. Usually you're trying to replace to upgrade. And I think upgrading over Deontay, you had to get one of those names that you have to pay a lot of money for that I just mentioned. So we'll see how this kind of plays out. I think he's deserving of a contract. Is he going to get $20 million? Is he going to get like $18 million? Is it going to be moved around? Is it going to be incentives? Hey, he just made the Pro Bowl. He's a 1,000-yard receiver. He's playing. Look at the quarterback play he's been playing with, even with like Ben Roethlisberger with one arm and, you know, Mason and Duck. And just it's been interesting how well he's played. Just think if he gets some consistent quarterback play, you actually get the guy. And I keep asking Mike Tomlin who the guy is, and that's the next thing I got to jump over to. I was a little little critical of Mitchell Trubisky coming in just to for day one. I thought Mitch Trubisky could have played a little bit better. I thought he was a little disappointing. He still had some of those same kind of disappointments, if you want to call them, with day two. But I thought he came out in day two and did a lot stronger of a job, looked a little bit better, but still, I think he did have an interception, and I have it somewhere in my quick notes. But he started off the day with like this incredible back shoulder throw, very Santonio Holmes like esque. I'm not going to put it all the way up there, but if you're talking about training camp and getting work in and getting your feet in and controlling your body, Chase Claypool did all of the above. Chase has been looking a lot more focused as well at the early points of training camp here. And I think that's where I'm going to start. I think I'm going to go through each position group and just pull some guys from these different lists. And if I got some things on some different notes, because I could tell you everything that I observed. I saw what I thought was a Zach Gentry bobble, but also being reported as Terrell Edmonds getting a hand on it too. Sometimes you can't see when you're looking through the players. There's a different vantage point, different point of view if you're at a different angle. But it ended up getting picked off, and I believe that was Devin Bush that ended up with the ball ultimately. And I was thinking, man, what happened here with Gentry? But Gentry had some solid hands throughout the rest of this, including this first seven shots, which is really designed as like playing in the end zone. A defense has to defend a touchdown, and it's up to the offense to score a touchdown, and Mitch got a couple of those in there. Fired one into traffic, which is something else that Mike Tomlin was talking about just recently, was I believe that was the day one press conference, which I didn't catch all of it before recording, so I apologize, but he did say that he is encouraging his quarterbacks to throw the ball into some more traffic, high traffic areas, for the sake of, he's not only challenging the defense, he's challenging the guys who are catching the ball, and challenging, of course, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett as well. This is yesterday kind of turned into a two quarterback hustle. As I've said, Chris Oladokun is not receiving. They're not giving him any reps. And there are some folks that are on Twitter and they're big mad. They're your usual clickbaiters, Adamski, Filippone, the radio guys, the media guys. We don't like the way they're handling Kenny Pickett. Well, Kenny Pickett ends day one with the interception. And I feel that these were kind of bad. And my opinion on Pickett so far is he's a rookie. Okay. These are some growing pains and there's some teachable things here. I think the thing he has to learn is the speed of the NFL. And I think that's going to be the only drawback, is that change where everybody is a professional football player. I'm seeing a little bit of hesitancy. I'm not seeing like Landry Jones hesitancy, deer in headlights. I'm not seeing Josh Dobbs hold onto the ball and then start running. And in fact, there was a play with Pickett where there's some pressure put on him. He escapes out of the pocket, gets a little more pressure again, escapes a second time, extends a play, much like Ben Roethlisberger-esque. And I'll even mention who that was to. That was to Anthony Miller, who I believe it was Anthony Miller. And I'm Anthony Miller or Calvin Austin, because they were both very impressive yesterday, but I'll get to the wide receivers later. So Kenny's showing some things. I like his deep ball second to Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph had a beautiful, beautiful deep pass. Somewhere on the notes, I'll have to find who the hell he hit. I think, I got a couple of them here. I think it might've been Miles Boykin out of a two tight end set, which was pretty interesting as well. So there were some, the deep ball, Gunnar Olszewski. Yeah. And I got a bunch of check marks by it because it was just beautiful all the way around. That the pass, the throw, the timing, the catch, there was no real need for major adjustment on Gunnar's part. The ball was on the money and in stride, and Kenny's got some of those going that way, and Mitch is a little bit lesser, and Mitch can hesitate here or there, as does Mason. But I also wonder, when we're working with the quarterbacks, they're not doing like first team, second team, third team. And what they're doing is, particularly yesterday, offensive line, like first team offensive line and maybe second team offensive line here or there, mostly first team offensive line, and they work with all three quarterbacks. And Kenny got fewer snaps as he got started later. He didn't get in on seven shots, and I'm not sure that he was in on the very next drill, but whatever he got his first chance at redemption for the interception the day before, the way he ended his day is the way he started his day yesterday. And he threw a pick, and it was somebody said a really nice play. I think it was Chris Steele. I have his number somewhere, but memory serves me correctly, Chris Steele. Well, not only just a nice play, but I think it wasn't necessarily the best decision. And I'm always thinking, too, Mitch Trubisky, new to the playbook, Kenny Pickett, new to the playbook, never working with some of these wide receivers, maybe different terminology with Matt Canada's system. It's potential that the wide receiver isn't where they're supposed to be. But from what I'm telling you, what I'm observing so far is Kenny's got to learn to anticipate a little better and throw his receivers open. We hear that a lot in the NFL. There's no such thing as wide open in the NFL. It's not like college where you just see these guys and there's huge windows of opportunity. So again, something that could be taught, something that could be coached, something he could learn. So I'm not burying him 6 feet under day two of practice by any means. This is just day 2 days in. This is why maybe he just didn't have as many reps. And maybe as we go forward, and we'll find out over the course of the next few days and the next few weeks and the preseason as well. And I expect Pickett to play a lot in the preseason. This could start to be a two-horse race between Mitch and Mason. And Mitch, of course, has 50 starts in the NFL, and he's the more veteran player, and he's the guy that has the pedigree as the top quarterback taken in his class, like Pickett too, but number two overall, a little bit different there. Chicago Bears made it a major statement to make sure that they got Mitch Trubisky when they did. So it's going to be interesting to see this. I think it's definitely still Mitch's job to lose, but these guys all work with the different skill position players. For tight ends, for example, the tight end groups rotate quite a bit. And Freiermuth, I guess, got dinged up a little bit and didn't end up finishing practice. But Freiermuth's out there. Zach Gentry's out there a lot. Jay Sternberger out there a lot. Kevin Rader. And my incoming maybe camp phenom, Connor Hayward. Man, is he? I'd like to call him Mighty Mouse. But if I take a look at the Steelers roster, I want to see what he's listed as, because I don't want to do any disrespect to his size. It's just the way that he looks alongside everyone else. He looks a little 6 foot, 230, short, stout. That's about right. Yeah. I think that's right where it needs to be. Like it says on here, tight end / fullback, and he's moving around. He's in the slot. I was still very impressed with his usage and how it looks. I think some of the plays are directed with particular hot routes, primary targets. And there's some interesting stuff that comes from that, from the wide receiver side. So I don't want to just end on the quarterback note on a sour note and tell you everybody sucked or anything like this. And that's not necessarily the case. There's positives with everyone. It's been acknowledged through other outlets through 2 days. This isn't just me wearing my bias cap of saying, okay, Mason is the starter. Mason is not yet just crowned starter. Mitch Trubisky is in that slot, and it could be his to lose. Mason looks the part. Now, whether or not that ceiling goes a little bit higher, you hear people around me. Like, the one deep ball he threw, everybody was like, whoa. And let me tell you, I went, whoa. It's like, so I think there may be some untapped potential that's there, but it's not to discount necessarily what Trubisky's doing as well. It's just the fact that if the other two guys struggle a little bit or they throw interceptions and then Rudolph isn't, you get these stats that come out, and that's why I say it's like it depends on what they're focusing on. So maybe on a particular play, they want to hit somebody deep, or they're looking for that drag route, or it's a handoff. It's a run play, you know? And Mason had a really nice one the day before where he got a high snap, and he took it, and he threw it, and that was the Kelvin Austin play. It was almost like the bubble screen. And Kelvin Austin got all the praise. But it was Mason who controlled this ball, didn't panic, and released it pretty quickly. Because in a real game situation, we've seen that happen with Big Ben. Very Big Ben-esque as far as control, release. No panic, no hesitation. And that's a very, very good positive there. But again, all three quarterbacks, they're kind of looking at security blankets at times. Tight ends, running backs. And again, once more, that could also be by design, and they're working with all of them. So you're going to see Mitch throw the Connor, Hayward. I don't want to call him Connor because we remember James Connor, and that gets confusing, but I can't just call him Hayward either. You know what I mean? Mini cam maybe, but he's on offense. So how do we handle that? But all three quarterbacks are working with him, for example, or Jace or Kevin Rader or anybody. So it's a mix, and the same thing is going on with the wide receivers. I don't have a whole lot to report, unfortunately, about the running backs. Just my usual comment that I had just the other day on the gigantic legs of Najee Harris. And that dude, I don't know if they're just the skinny kind of biker type shorts or what, but, you know, and not to zoom in on his package necessarily for our YouTubers, but there you go, man. That guy is just, he's got quads and stuff that are just ripping out from his skin. He is just unbelievable. So just moving that around a little bit to get a nice glimpse of Najee. He's very much looks like a vocal and looks like he's stepping into a leader role. But if I had to tell you right now, the guy who is the absolute de facto leader of this team right now with Ben Roethlisberger having retired is Cameron Hayward, without a doubt. He's vocal and he's very, very much has that presence. Najee is starting to fill in there. TJ Watt will give you some business. And I got to mention Coach Tomlin. He has a lot of fun. He'll find these groups and he'll yuck it up with some of the players throughout the day. And one of the things that's really fun with Coach T is Zach Gentry, I think it was, with the he had a nice combat catch. And he goes, "That's a great combat catch." And he has all these nicknames for everybody. And I'm not sure what he has for Gentry. He's like, "That's a combat catch. That's a great combat catch. You go get it," and stuff like that. It's very, very encouraging. Very much he's into the moment and having fun. And it's and it lends to this environment with the players as well. Let's go over to the wide receivers. Let's see. I mentioned Deontay, and of course, he's doing a lot of work on the side, on his own. You have Chase Claypool. He's been, he doesn't stand out as the one for whatever reason. And it's just because I think we're so much excited about all of the other people that have been involved. And I'd be remiss to mention, as part of the receivers, Freiermuth is just a freak of nature. He just catches everything that's around him. So I got to toss him back in there, even though I kind of just glossed over the tight ends. I don't know that there's a whole lot of a race with the tight ends. It just depends on if they consider Connor as a third tight end or an extra player just on offense when it comes to how this 53-man roster ends up coming together. Even special teams. I'm going to mention that too, because there's this little guy running around wearing 84, AB's old number, Tyler Snead. I have him kind of queued up here. He surprised me so far. Reminds me of Rico Bussey last season for those who got to see the camp practices and the camp phenoms. So I'll mention Tyler Snead in that same kind of breath. We already mentioned here Chase Claypool. So trying to, let me see, who else do we got? Oh, yeah. George Pickens. I love me some George Pickens, but a lot of the stuff has been kind of low impact type of things. I haven't had the best vantage point for the big plays, and I honestly believed that both of them that were being hyped up the day before, I believe one was out of bounds. I'm not sure if he actually controlled it to the ground, and there was another one that wasn't controlled all the way to the ground maybe. So it was like one of those things where he's there and you could, let's put it this way, you could smell it and you know this guy's money. So I'm not, if you're up here, I'm not going very much further down from up here, but it's just to put things into a perspective and a level playing field. But I think Flash was talking about being excited about Pickens, being excited about Kelvin Austin, and he was returning some punts as well. I'll talk about the specialists a little bit. That was an interesting kind of thing to see play out in camp. But Kelvin Austin, there's two different passes he took. I think one from Mitch and one from Mason, where maybe there was a little short. It wasn't the best ball. Comes back to it, whatever be the case. But this dude was making some Antonio Brown-esque catches, and he's going all the way to the ground, hips and ass on the turf, and that ball was not loose. You might want to challenge it if you're the opposing coach. Don't get near this. This dude is catching everything that's in his path, and with Deontay kind of doing his shut in, Calvin Austin is getting a whole boatload of time to show what he can do. And he's going to make it difficult for these coaches to figure out exactly who they're going to play out there at wide receiver. I do feel that they have a good group of four wide receivers for whoever the quarterbacks are. Of course, Deontay playing there, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, sky's the limit. Kelvin Austin is just lightning in a bottle. I have been nothing but impressed with what he's done thus far. Let's see. Tyler Vaughn's number 80, also making some interesting plays. But the other player that I really got to say is kind of in camp phenom territory. I wish I had a picture showing you. Somebody tweeted something out. It might have been the Steelers account. Just how jacked this dude is Anthony Miller. And I had to keep looking and keep checking to make sure that number. I got the right number, right? George Pickens is out there, and Pickens is, let me see. Pickens is wearing 14. Austin obviously is wearing 19, the new Juju number. But you take a look at Anthony Miller in 17, the old Mike Wallace number, and I'm like, wait a minute, did Pickens pick up the old Mike Wallace number? Or no, it's Anthony Miller. And if you remember, Anthony Miller is a former second-round pick of the Chicago Bears, entered the NFL in 2018. He's had some mixed success and was practically out of the league, and he's picked off of the, you know, trash pile by the Steelers last year, mainly plays practice squad, had a hell of a catch that he picked up right off of the ground, like, you know, the fingertip length from the ground for Ben Roethlisberger last season. I think it was his only reception. Everything that's coming his way, he is just a dog. Mason had a play to him that was just unbelievably incredible. The way the timing, and they were in sync, and the way he comes back to the ball. And I believe I mentioned earlier, was the Kenny Pickett play. And I have it right here. I have it listed in my notes. Anthony Miller looks sharp. And I wrote it more than once. And let's see. I got some things. First team D. I got a whole bunch of them that are here. And it was, oh, no, this was Mason Rudolph on this one. But this wasn't the extended busted play type of scenario. So they were able to do much of like the draw in the dirt, Ben Roethlisberger backyard football stuff. Kenny Pickett was able to do that later on in practice too. He was also had a deep target to Miles Boykin, but it was a little off target. Kenny Pickett did. But that ball looked great in the air. It just wasn't where it needed to be. He had a couple of deep shots that were there. But I mentioned this more than once, that 17 breaks off and comes back. And there was extended plays with more than one of the quarterbacks that were out there. Pickett, and I also noted Mason Rudolph, but not so much extended. Like, Kenny was like pressure. There was real pressure. Like, Mason was like, cool as a cucumber. We don't see him as mobile, but he's staying in the pocket. And you got to be able to pass from the pocket. You also got to evade pressure. Quarterbacks have to wear more than one hat. You just can't be Lamar Jackson and bobblehead around the field necessarily either. And there's a lot of criticism going there that he's not throwing from the pocket. And people are like, well, do we want him back next year? I think that's crazy talk, because he's already had an MVP and you could see what he could do in the right system. But just to give you, like, again, positives and negatives, glass half empty, glass half full of all of the quarterbacks and the players here. Anthony Miller is on another plane of, he doesn't have to wait for the ball to come to him. He's making things happen and getting open, and quarterbacks are finding him. And I really think the Steelers are going to be in a tough position. They brought in Gunner, and I know Gunner has some Pro Bowl accolades as a kick returner, and he's quicker than a hiccup as well. But if they're going to try Austin out in this position, how do you keep six wide receivers? Because Gunner made the catch. He got that deep ball from Mason. I don't know how often he's going to get snaps like that in a real game regular season situation, though, if he's wide receiver 5 or 6. And it's kind of where I'm thinking, like, Anthony Miller, like, you got two rookies, and I was hoping for more from Miles Boykin. I just didn't really see a whole lot of him. He's a big tall target too, right? Formerly of the Baltimore Ravens. I'm excited about him, but Miller is going to make it very, 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 very difficult decision when it comes to this 53-man roster. And I know last year he was a practice squad guy. I know size, 5'11", 199 pounds, as he's listed over on Steelers.com, doesn't lend to the circus variety of, you need the, you know, the lion tamers, you need the elephants, you need the clowns, the wide receivers, you need the tall guy, you need the X, you need the slot receiver, you need, you know, jack of all trades, master of none kind of players that you could find on third down, kind of utility guys. I always remember, like, Hines Ward, Ed McCaffrey with the Denver Broncos, Wes Welker, the guys you could throw to and they're going to catch like everything. Anthony Miller is looking like, I hate to put him in that obvious, that category. You've got some, you know, Hall of Fame or fringe Hall of Fame type credentials with some of those guys and some Super Bowl rings. But Anthony Miller is, especially if he ends up showing as having any kind of rapport from his days in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky, very, very difficult decision there thus far. So whether or not he's on this final roster, I really think if I'm in the position of the coaches right now, I'm going to play him over, let's say, Austin or Pickens at the beginning of the season anyways, unless he makes a mistake and then you pull him and put the rookie guys in. Because the rookies are green. They don't necessarily know the pass protections. What if somebody runs the wrong route? And you're already trying to work with, like, a new quarterback. No matter who it is, it's a new quarterback. There's not stability there either. And I think Miller can help help them have some stability to that, especially when you pair him with Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool in that type of those type of situations, three wide receiver sets. I'm very, very bullish on what I've seen with Miller, and he could very well, even though he hasn't been a Latrobe, as the natives call it. You hear me say Latrobe? That's not a mistake. I was corrected by that at went for some adult beverages at a craft brewery. And I was definitely corrected on that. And you'll hear it too. Some of the SNR guys are starting to say it. It's like everybody outside of Latrobe say Latrobe, even the Rolling Rock commercials. So anyways, I like Miller. I like Miller a lot. He's going to make some things difficult. Offensive line, pretty much Mason Cole taking all the center snaps. Kendrick Green is not taking snaps at center. I tweeted something else out about all of this live and in action yesterday. And Kendrick Green did, however, get some first team reps with the left guards, at left guard over Kevin Dotson. And when you listen to some of the SNR guys, in particular Arthur Motes, really likes Kevin Dotson and thinks Kevin Dotson could be a Pro Bowl level player when he's at the top of his game. The question is he at the top of his game, or are the rumors of some laziness or not being in shape before or being disinterested type of lapses and inconsistency could cost him a job? But Green also came out and was very candid. Joe Reuter, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, I believe. I don't think he's the Post Gazette. I don't think he's the PG guy, but I think he's the Trib guy now. But he's one of the Steelers beat writers. Josh Roundtree, another great follow if you're looking for someone to follow on Twitter. They both had a sound bite from Kendrick Green, basically stating that he wasn't comfortable playing center last year, and he feels a lot better playing at guard, and he doesn't seem like he wants to even go back to playing center. And those are some big words, and it's tough to say, because that could put you in the boiling pot when it comes to your coaches. Could put you in the doghouse. You're almost like saying, well, they were wrong for trying me out or whatever. And I think it's just an acknowledged mismatch with fit for the role that was needed. So they obviously see that Green has something at guard, and they're not giving up on him necessarily overall as a player. It's just, and they also have to push Dotson, I think, because if the other things that, again, rumors, hearsay with Dotson are things of fact, then we have to acknowledge then that maybe he needs that little push, kind of like, you know, Kyler Murray with that contract that just got that pulled out. Boy, did that go over well. Extra, if you didn't hear about that, they wanted, they put it in Kyler Murray's big 200 and whatever million dollar contract. The Arizona Cardinals were mandating like 4 hours of film study per week with like no video games, no music, no other distractions, just straight film study. And it's like unheard of that any team, any organization would do this with a professional player. And it's almost like in any sport, right? And it really, I think, rubbed people the wrong way that maybe Kyler isn't putting in the right amount of work. Maybe it was just to push him. I don't know, but they had to pull that and rescind that out. So it's another little tales of the bizarre in the National Football League. And that might be very well the case of what we're seeing with Green and Dotson, and whether or not this is really a camp battle or not. Back to the quarterback thing, though. Kenny had fewer reps overall than Mitch and Mason on that second day, and he hasn't been like ascended into the savior of the Steel City and all the QB1 reps. So all of these other, you know, clickbait and hot take kind of Pittsburgh sports media, they're just kvetching about the whole thing. And I'm sitting over here laughing because I'm like, this is the way I want him brought along slowly, so you don't ruin this guy. If you recommendally, and he's throwing these picks, I don't know, maybe the one that he throws early yesterday, the first opportunity he gets after the other one, he's trying to redeem and impress with a big play and make everyone forget about it. And the defense let him have it with the same type of celebration again. And there was one of these like, ooh, or oof, or yoy, or double yoy from a lot of the fans that were in attendance. So it's just, but don't give up on him just because of that. I'm just saying I think the coaches acknowledge that they don't want to put him in a situation he's not quite ready for yet. And it's day two. I got to always keep reminding people of that. Anthony McFarland had showed all these running backs showed their speed. They're not playing in pads right now. So it's really hard to say much other than we already know that Najee is the man. And we got to see a little bit of Mateo Durant. He's a little bit of the quick hiccup guy. And you got a little bit more of the bulkier back with Jaylen Warren. Jeremy McNichols obviously grabbed a few passes from the day before. Just because I have it queued up and I was talking about some of the folks that were in the return groups the day before, too, before I jumped to the defense. Presley Harvin and this Cameron Niazelek. You could hear when Harvin boots some of these balls, it sounds like a thud. It sounds like the thing's going to explode. Problem is like he gets a lot of distance on it and sometimes they're low, and that's going to present a problem with coverage teams being able to cover. Where else Niazelek so far has had the ones that had a little bit more of hang time, and it looks like he's trying to pin teams within the 20 and working more finesse versus just raw strength and power. It's interesting because, you know, when they bring in specialists, there's another kicker in camp too, and we're not necessarily expecting Chris Boswell to lose his job. There's just somebody in there to kind of give guys a breather and kind of rotate. But I wouldn't necessarily call Presley Harvin the safest. You know, he's not a fourth round punter or whatever taken by the Cleveland Browns this year, kicker, punter, specialist, whichever one they went with. Oh, those are the Ravens. I think the Ravens took the punter and the Browns took the kicker. It was within the AFC North, but mid-round picks. He was the only punter that was taken, and he was like 10, 15 picks from a Mr. Irrelevant pick, much like I said with Chris Oladokun. So if Oladokun doesn't get any reps, they're not trying to steal from Mitch Mason and Kenny, and a lot of people already had that preconceived notion of, well, why is Mason even out there? Well, so far he's looked the part a little more than some of the other dudes that have been throwing the ball around. And again, that's just all it is. There's not much more to say about that. Day two of practice. I got to keep coming back to that. So I absolutely loved watching the special teamers. I loved watching Kelvin Austin return some punts. Presley Harvin was having none of allowing George Pickens to return anything. Everything was sailing over his head. It was quite comical to me as I understand where the drills are going. But at the same time, he's not getting that extra work in. But I would already surmise that if it's not Gunner returning these kicks, it's going to be Kelvin Austin. So let's flip over to the defense. And I mentioned Cam Hayward and, of course, TJ, and those guys stand out really well. Larry O is coming on a little bit slowly here. I wasn't looking so much on the defensive line as I was looking at linebackers and corners in the secondary again. And Damonte Casey, again, playing in the spot for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's a veteran, and he should be in that role. And that was also acknowledged by Mike Tomlin. We see a nice rotation, though, however. It looks like Robert Spillane is kind of like the new Vince Williams, and they're going to have him in certain situations where they're not using Bush or Miles Jack, and they've been rotating him, and it's been working so far. Now, Spillane got beaten in one coverage, and that's Spillane. And it's going to be up to whether teams exploit certain things and what kind of sub-package football that you're playing. But it really seems like the Steelers are very happy with Robert Spillane to this point. And I got to wonder, was he restricted rights? I think he was restricted rights free agent. So he'd be unrestricted next year. Of course, Devin Bush will be as well. Miles Jack on the 2-year deal. So it's interesting to see how all this works out. Of course, Miles Jack, more of his money in next year if he's on the roster or not. And I'm not trying to say he's a flop or anything. He's like one of my top. You don't only have so many free agents that they brought in, but it is a big acquisition for the Steelers this year and one that we continue to highlight on the program. And to that effect, it's just a matter of what does the future look like here if we only have two guys, and it looks like they have three, and maybe Spillane's a guy that sticks around on this roster out into the future based on however the 17-game schedule ends up playing out, but he's not like a definitive two. And another point to Mike Tomlin that he was doing the same thing with the rotation with the corners. As he says, Spoon and Levi Wallace and Cam Sutton, we're going to rotate those and have them as ones. So the twos, he said, JP, James Pierre. So they can get the proper type of reps with the second team. So that's kind of something that'll be a little bit interesting to see going forward as well. Again, the first team, second team, it's almost like there's no third team. I can put that out there right now. And I'm going to say some of the guys are getting some reps. You don't have four preseason games anymore. It's going to be interesting to see how they install or have some semblance of, are you going to sit some of these players, or do we feel that the Steelers are new and young and inexperienced in certain groups and areas? Offensive line. You're going to play the offensive line 2-3 quarters Are you going to give Kenny the first team offensive line at all, or is it going to be exclusively Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph? That's going to be something interesting to see as well. But the defense was pretty much along the same lines. They're ball hawking. Justin Lane, he is in Mason Rudolph's head right now. He had a nice pass breakup. Somebody said it was a near interception. I didn't feel it was. I think he still had to extend to get out there. But again, somebody will just tell me I'm a Mason homer, so take that as what you will. Great play by Justin Lane regardless. I had a whole lot of these. Oh, yeah, Kenny got in on this. And like I said, the first interception, a pass breakup on the defensive line did an amazing job. Tyler Snead, traffic catch by Tyler Vaughns. I mentioned all of these different guys earlier. I mentioned, that's pretty funny, too. Boykin had a nice combat catch over James Pierre. So talking about the corners, having the corners noted, Prisman Jackson, the wide receivers coach, was all up into Miles Boykin and just celebrating and everything. It was really fun to see. Eight deep ball, eight uses his legs to escape pressure. It's kind of really interesting here. I say Kendrick Green at guard. So there's not a whole lot, I think, differently here. There was one play where they ran like an end round. It might've been the Anthony McFarland play. Now that I'm thinking about it, it fooled the defense badly. Like they were really caught on their heels. Benny Snell. You wouldn't expect this from Benny Snell football. Caught a nice toe tap sideline catch. He's got to do some of that because it looks like I'm kind of starting to wonder if the Steelers, it's hard to take Najee Harris off the field. He's a do-it-all. You got the guys on SNR saying the same thing. Is there anybody that does anything specific that Najee already does better than what Najee does? And I don't think there is. And I have to agree with them wholeheartedly there that when do you decide to take him off the field and Jeremy McNichols, if he's going to be a receiving back, will he be like a Mwelde Moore type of scenario? It's about the only time that Mike Tomlin hasn't used a bell cow running back. So that'll be interesting to see as well. We'll have some more news coming for you in the coming days, in the coming weeks. We're here, folks. They're going to have a padded practice on Monday. There's going to be some hitting. We're going to be able to tell you what that looked like, what that sounded like, and who was rising to the occasion. So stay tuned here. Follow us on all of our various platforms. If you're watching here on the YouTube machine, they're all across the bottom here on our lower third. Twitter. Twitter specifically is on fire these days. Facebook will get you some of the summaries and get caught up over at steelcityunderground.com on the website as well, where you can listen to this in an audio format if you're driving around and you just can't watch my handsome face. I apologize. So, by the way, got some new things that are up in on the walls. And if you're looking around, had to add the Heinz Field stuff. That's courtesy of FOCO. So check them out over FOCO.com or at FOCO, I believe, _USA or FOCO USA on their various social media platforms. Pretty much if it's not something that you can wear, FOCO is the one providing it. I believe they've even made quite a few of the bobbleheads, gnomes, and things like that, pajamas. I've mentioned them before. They deserve a great mention. I thank them for the Heinz Field sign and also the Pittsburgh Steelers license plate that you can see here on display. So head on over to foco.com, get the plug in. One of the got to support the sponsors. Thank you for supporting us so we can support the sponsors. My name is Joe Kuzma. Don't forget once again to like, comment, subscribe, follow the show, review where you can, rate us well, please. Thumbs up, smiley faces, all of the above. I know there was a ton of comments that are floating around with YouTube, and we got some other ones. I will address some of those as we collect some more information, because quite a few of them are like in the territory of who do you think's the number one right now? And it's like, man, I'm like Mike Tomlin. I don't know just yet who I'm going to start. I mean, as much as like I've said that Mason, it hasn't made any kind of real critical errors. I'm like, if I had to be put a gun put to my head, I'm playing Mitch Trubisky because he's the most experienced guy and he's the veteran guy. And he's been around a couple of different systems and he's seen some stuff as a starter. So that's a gun to your head type thing, but I wouldn't feel uncomfortable if I had to put Mason out there. And Kenny's got some work. Kenny is probably like exactly where like Mason was when he first came in 2018. So just keep that in mind. And I'll remind all the folks out there, don't jump off a ledge just yet. I know you're making those Pickett jerseys. You Pitt Panther fans are nuts. You're buying them up. You're making them one of the hottest selling ones in the NFL, just like you did with James Conner a few years ago. Doesn't mean you're able to wear it around. You're able to look cool wearing the first round draft pick, but I don't know. There's some Vegas odds out there that say Kenny would be what, the rookie quarterback of the year or offensive player of the year or something that's really crazy. And I think those are some sucker bets right now. So kind of pull back off of that, if you will. My name is Joe Kuzma, and until next time, as we always do, we're encouraging you to stay off that cliff. Come on, Yinzers. I know, some of you don't like Mason. Some of you don't like Mitch. Some of you are all pro Kenny. Kenny's coming along. It'll be okay. But until next time, I mean it. Be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.